I would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. I would like to read from Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I would like to read verses 14 through 20. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. The subject that's on my heart this morning is the importance of remembering. The importance of remembering. Remembering the right things. There are some things God's Word says to forget, but there are things that God's Word tells us to remember. We're so prone to forget, aren't we? How many of you buy sticky notes and put around to try to remind you, or you have appointment cards to go to the dentist and the doctor to remind you, or you have a daily planner and have all these different things that you write down to help you remember to do things. We need things to help us remember. The Bible is full of things that God says specifically for us to remember. I've written 26 articles and did a whole six-month series of programs on the radio one time just on the things that God says to remember. Remember. For example, Jesus says, remember three words. Remember what? Okay. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's a good one. Remember Lot's wife. Do you remember? He said, remember Lot's wife. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There are many, many things that God says remember. And the reason He tells us to remember is that we're prone to forget. So He tells us, now you need to make special effort to remember. You need to do things to remind you of the things God says to remember. There are also people in the Bible that said, remember me. They would talk to God and say, remember me. There was a thief on the cross. You remember that one of the thieves hanging on the cross of Calvary, he asked Jesus, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. We sometimes sing a song, O Lord, remember me, remember me. We want God to remember us. We want God to visit with us. We want God to manifest Himself to us. But God says remember. There are a lot of things that the Bible says to remember, and there's one particular thing that's on my heart this morning that we should remember and that we need to remember, and there's just these two words that just have, I guess, hundreds of times this week have just come to my mind over and over and over and over, and that is just these two words, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. Over and over, I've heard those words on my heart and in my mind. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. And I pray that God will help us today to think about Jesus. I didn't ask for it, but the very first song that we sang this morning was all about remembering Jesus. It was, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And that whole song described a lot about the life of Jesus Christ. And we need to remember Jesus. We need to think about Jesus. Think about Jesus every day. Remember Jesus. I want to read now from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. The Word of God says, And when the hour was come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. And He said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. I don't know of any church that I've ever been in that didn't have these words in the front. What's on the table right down here in the front? This do in remembrance of me. Now, specifically, he's talking about the Lord's Supper or the communion service, that we're to do that. Let me just tell you, that's a commandment from Jesus Christ, that we're to do that. We're to partake of that unleavened bread and wine. We're to do that. This do in remembrance of me. But when we do that this coming Wednesday night, it's important that whatever we do, that we do it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Remember Christ. And so this morning I want us to begin not so much with looking specifically in its context of what he's talking about, but I just want us to remember Jesus and remember the life of Jesus and remember some things that God's Word tells us about Jesus. I want us to, as the song, first song we sang said, tell me the story of Jesus. I want us to remember Jesus. And the first thing, there are at least two or three things I want us to look at this morning. The first thing that I want us to remember about Jesus is I want us to remember that Jesus is divine. Jesus is God. He's called the Son of God, but Jesus is also called God. I want us to remember the fact that Jesus is holy and pure and perfect in every way. There has never been a person on this earth that was absolutely perfect except Jesus Christ. Even little babies, when they're born, they're not absolutely perfect. The Bible teaches that the sin of Adam is passed down from person to person, and as soon as a baby is conceived in the mother's womb, it hasn't committed sin, but it is a sinner by nature. But Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of Mary in a different way. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she conceived. That which was born of her was of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was born without sin. That's different than anybody else. I was born a sinner. And everybody else has been born a sinner. But Jesus was born without sin. He's perfect. He's holy in every way. Jesus is God. That's the first thing I want you to remember about Jesus. That's the first part of the story as we think about, tell me the story of Jesus. I want you to remember that Jesus is God. Go forward in your Bible about three or four pages. I want you to go to John chapter 1, and I want you to see that the Word of God declares that Jesus is God. That's the first thing I want you to remember. I just want you to, if you're taking notes, I want you to write down number one that we need to remember about Jesus is that Jesus is God. And when we finish all the things that we're going to look at, Lord willing, you may not necessarily agree with this being the order that we need to remember, but I want you to remember the things that we're going to look at about Jesus. Remember Jesus, and first of all, remember that Jesus is God. Now, do you know there are a lot of people that don't believe that? There are a lot of people that do not believe that Jesus is God, but God's Word declares that. And it's not just in one place. There are many places where the Word of God makes it clear that Jesus is God. For example, in John chapter 1, I want you to look at the first three verses. John chapter 1. You always need to be able to look and show in God's Word. You need to be able to teach others. You need to be able to tell others from the Word of God whatever it is that you believe. And we believe that Jesus is God. And one of the places that we show that is in John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. John 1, look in your Bibles at John 1, verse 1. The Word of God says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I can't imagine being with somebody and being somebody, can you? And listen, God is beyond our comprehension. Sister Dawn and I were talking earlier about eternal heaven. I can't comprehend eternal heaven. I cannot fathom something better than the blessings I experience here, but eternal heaven is better. I cannot comprehend God. God is beyond our comprehension. I think of the most perfect people I know on this earth, and I marvel at them. But listen, they're nothing compared to Jesus Christ. Jesus was with God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That's capital W now. That's not talking about the Bible. That's talking about this is the written Word, but then there's also the living Word, who is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without... Now, you see, Word is... Do you see a pronoun in verse 3 referring back to the Word? Him. That's right, Him. This Word is a person. Verse 3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the living Word, and Jesus did not have His beginning when He was born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus is eternal. In the way back there in the beginning of this world, when God said, let there be light, did you know Jesus was right there? Jesus was there. In the beginning of this world, Jesus said, let there be light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. You see, nothing was made without Jesus making it. He made all things. He's the Creator. Verse 14 tells us more about this Word that was back there in the beginning of the world and that created the earth. Verse 14 says, and the Word was... What are the next two words? And the Word was what?
Made flesh.
What does that mean? The Word, God, was made flesh. What does that mean? Yes, He came in the form of a man. The Word was made flesh. The Scripture says, and the Word was made flesh. God was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who is that God that was made flesh? Who is that? What's the name that we call Him by? Jesus. Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Scripture says, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what do we need to remember about Jesus? What's the first thing that we need to remember? What's the first thing that we're looking at that we need to remember? We need to remember that Jesus is God. Not just that He is the Son of God, and I can't emphasize that enough, but Jesus is the Son of God, but Jesus is divine. Jesus is God. Go with me to, go forward in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians just a moment. There's so many scriptures that are on my heart, and I ask that you pray that God will help me to go slow enough for us to follow everything. Well, let's just stop at 1 Timothy. I want us to go slow enough that we follow everything, but I've got so many things on my mind, it's hard for me to go slow. You ever notice some preachers that when they get to going, they go off and you're still sitting there at the start mark and they're through preaching. Well, we want to go slow this morning. It's not my intent or purpose to get up and entertain anybody. It's not my intent and purpose for you to just sit there and just hear something and say, well, that was real good. The intent and purpose of us coming to the house of God is to worship God and to learn things about God, to then go out and share others about the truth of God's Word. And what we want to remember about God, what I need to hold on to, is the fact that Jesus is God. And John 1 is one of those passages that you can go to share with any other person who believes the Bible is the Word of God. It helps them see that Jesus is God. Does John 1 help you see that Jesus is God? It does me. Here's another one. Look at 1 Timothy. We're going to stop here in 1 Timothy. I said 1 Thessalonians, but we're going to 1 Timothy just a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Please look in your Bibles at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. We're trying to look at the fact that Jesus is God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Word of God says, and without controversy. That means you can argue all you want to. Are there people that want to argue with you about whether Jesus is God or not? Or even that He's the Son of God? People want to argue. The Word of God says, without controversy. There is no controversy in this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Is it a mystery? You know, I remember one time when I first started preaching, you know, young preachers think they know it all. I was no different. I thought I knew it all. You could just say, tell me about something, and I'd tell you all about it. That's amazing, you know. think you know it all. Well, this dear sister in the church said she was an elderly lady and was dying with emphysema, and she said, Brother Billy, I want you to preach on the triune God. I want you to get up and just preach on the Trinity. I want you to preach about God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Preach the three persons, but that they're just one. And I said, Sister Sarah, will I be glad to. And I got up the next Sunday to preach on the triune God, and I started preaching away about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And before I knew it, I was preaching about three gods. And then I realized that, and I started trying to back up, and I started to preach about that they're one. And then I started realizing, well, I'm just preaching one God. And then I ran back and started trying to preach about the three gods. And then I tried to get back and preach about, and when I finally just stopped that sermon, and I said, Brethren, all I can tell you is great is the mystery of godliness, and that I cannot fully comprehend the triune God. When I started that sermon, I thought I had it all clear in my mind. I had all kinds of illustrations that described the triune God. And there are many illustrations, but none of them really are exactly right. You can say, well, God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the three in one is like an apple. Does an apple have an outer peeling around it that protects the meat? That outer peeling would be like God the Father. And then you have the flesh of the apple, the meat part that we typically eat. You can say, well, that's God the Son. That's God made flesh. And then you have the seed in the apple, and that would be like what? The Holy Ghost. Well, all that sounds fine, well, and good, but I'm telling you, it doesn't fit all the way. I'm just telling you, there is nothing in this world that will clearly show you a picture of God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And in this world, you may think you understand it. I thought I have many times. And I think in my heart, mind, I think I can understand the three-in-one God. But I'm telling you, God is past our understanding, is what the Scripture says. He's past finding out. God is God. And you're man. And you can't understand how great God is. But I know this. I know there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and I know that Jesus is the Son of God, and I know that Jesus is God. You explain all that, I'd be glad to listen to you after we finish. But I want you to know Jesus is God. Without controversy, this is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Word of God says, and without controversy, great is the what? What's the next word there? Great is the what? Mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. Now listen. God was manifest in the flesh. Who is that? That was God who was manifest in the flesh. Who is that? That's Jesus. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. And then the Scripture says, and He was, what's the last thing that's mentioned there? He was what? Received up into glory. Now, who is this that the Bible says, now God was made flesh and lived here on this earth, and then God was received up into glory. Who is that? The Bible says He's God, but who is that? What do we call Him? We call Him Jesus. Now, you need to remember that Jesus is God. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus is God. Great is the mystery. The Scripture says here, great is the mystery of godliness. The Word of God, and there are many other Scriptures, I'm not going to turn to any others, but I just want to mention one other one. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, I think verse 9, the Word of God says that in Him, that is in Jesus Christ, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see that? In Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For example, Jesus said in John chapter 14, He says, I'm going away, but I'm going to come unto you. And then He says, when I come unto you, He begins to just kind of make a transition there, and He says, the Holy Spirit is going to comfort you. Is Jesus the Holy Spirit? Is Jesus God? Is Jesus the Son? Well, I'm not sure we answered all those exactly right, but I just want to tell you, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. We need to remember that about Jesus. Absolutely holy, perfect, righteous in every way. We want to worship. One of the first prayers that was prayed, I don't remember who prayed first, but it was Brother Travis. We want to worship God today.
I want to worship God. I want to worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I don't want to just worship being in the house of God, but that's one place I want to worship God, is in the house of God. I want to worship God everywhere I go. Did you know there was one person that drove all night and got here, has slept all night? Brother Michael drove. He left Atlanta about 4 o'clock this morning and got here in time for church. He called his wife. She didn't know he was coming. And he called his wife and said, she said, "What are you going to do today?" He said, "I'm going to go to church." But she thought, she said, "Oh, good." Where did she think he was going to go to church? In Atlanta. But boom, here he is. He comes driving up here. I thank God. You know why he's here? Now, he's here because he loves his family. But I'll tell you, because I know him now, I know him more than I've ever known him. He loves God. He loves Jesus. He's here because he loves God. You know what he came for? He came to worship God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I need to remember that Jesus is God. Now, let's go to the second thing that's on my heart that I want us to remember. And listen, if you saw the list of things I want to preach today, you wouldn't have probably come, because you said, "We'll never finish this," and we will. Listen, that's the bottom line, isn't it? Tell me the story of Jesus. What do we do every Sunday? Tell the story of Jesus. You preach about the kingdom of heaven, and you're talking about Jesus? Yeah, who's the king of this kingdom of heaven? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is. So let's try to study a little more right now about Jesus and about things that we need to remember about Jesus. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2 as we talk about Jesus being God and holy and perfect. You can go and study in 1 Peter. You know, the Bible says this. We're going to turn right now back up into your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. But while you're turning to Philippians chapter 2, we're going to be looking at something else about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. But while you're turning there, I want you to remember that the Bible says in 1 Peter that we were redeemed. We were not redeemed. We were not redeemed with corruptible seed. We were not redeemed with silver and gold. But you know what we were redeemed with? We were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know that if Joseph was the natural daddy of Jesus, did you know the blood of Jesus Christ would not have redeemed any of us? It took the power of the blood of God to redeem us. Jesus redeemed us with His precious blood. Now, listen in Philippians chapter 2. When you think about the greatness of God, you think about Jesus is God, I think that just kind of leads us to the other end of the spectrum, and that is, you think about the greatness of God, but then you think about, what did Jesus do? Jesus humbled Himself, didn't He? Now, He was God. He was God, and yet, as God, He came down into this world. And that's what Philippians chapter 2, and I want us to remember the second thing about Jesus, is that Jesus was humble. Jesus humbled Himself. Jesus humbled Himself. We need to remember that. Jesus humbled Himself. Why do I need to remember that? Because we're so prone to get lifted up in, what's P-R-I-D-E? You ever been proud? Well, if you're going to be a Christian, you know what you have to do? We're going to have feet washing service. You know, some people laugh at that, but I'll tell you, it's taught in God's Word. Jesus knelt down and washed the feet of His disciples, and He says that they're to do it one to another as He had done it to them. We're supposed to be willing to kneel down and wash the feet of our brethren. Are you nervous the first time? Do any of you remember the first time that you washed feet? Do you remember how nervous you were? Well, you may be nervous, but still, you need to do what? What are you doing when you kneel down and wash someone's feet? Humbling yourself. That's right. You're humbling yourself. Did Jesus humble Himself, kneel down, and wash the feet of His brethren? And He knew what they were about to do. He had just told them, He says, "You're all going to leave me. You're all going to forsake me. You're going to deny me." You remember Peter said, "Lord, I'll die with you, but I won't ever deny you." He said, "Yeah, you're going to deny me before the cock crows. You're going to deny me thrice." And yet Jesus knelt down, knowing that they were all going to deny Him. He knelt down, He humbled Himself, and He washed the feet of those men that were going to deny Him in spite of all that they had seen. Listen in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. I want us to remember not only that Jesus is God, but I want us to remember Jesus' humility. I want us to remember that He was humble. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, the Word of God says, "Let this mind be in you,
which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. What did Jesus do? He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Was he the King of kings and Lord of lords? And yet he came as a what? He came as a servant. Don't we sometimes want to exalt ourselves as being king? You know, sometimes in my house, that's the way I act. I'm a king. Oh, that's not the Christian way. Did you know that's not Christ-like at all? This idea that you're supreme and all, oh no, that's the devil telling you that. Every one of us in our homes, you know what we need to do? We need to humble ourselves. Do I need to serve my wife? Do I need to serve my wife? Listen, I can't be a Christian if I'm not going to serve my wife. I've got to be a servant. The Word of God tells us about Jesus. He came into the world. And he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was a servant. He humbled himself. What was he? What is he? He is God. God became a servant. Do you see the beauty of Jesus Christ? Do you see the humility of Jesus Christ? Do we need to remember the humility of Jesus Christ? Why do we need to remember the humility of Jesus Christ? Because the Word of God says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who became a servant. What do I need to be? A servant. Do you know what a pastor is? A pastor is a servant. You know what a deacon is? The word deacon means one thing. You know what deacon means? It means the ruling board of the authority. I had to talk to a deacon about 3 weeks ago, because another deacon in the church said, I can't get him to do anything. He thinks that we're supposed to be the ruling board of the church. And I called that deacon up. I said, let me tell you something. Deacons are not the ruling board of the church. You don't find that anywhere in God's Word. You only find one thing the Bible says deacons did. They didn't rule over the church. The pastor didn't rule over the church. Do you know who rules over the church? Do you know the only head of the church? It's Jesus Christ. Do you know that we're all part of the body of Christ, but there's only one head? There aren't two heads in this church. It's not me and Brother David. It's not me and Jesus. It's Jesus. He is the head of the church. Jesus is. What are all the rest of us? We're all servants. Has Jesus already served? He's already been a servant. What are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be servants. So the Word of God says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen, brethren, you talk about the humility of Christ. You talk about him becoming a servant. You talk about him becoming a man. You talk about him becoming obedient unto death, but especially the death of the cross. There was no way to die that compared to the death of someone on the cross. That was the most shameful way to die. And Jesus humbled himself that he became obedient unto death. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He hung on the cross. He was stripped of his clothes and hung on the cross of Calvary. Humility. Was he God? Was it the nails that held Jesus to the cross? Could Jesus, as he was facing Calvary, could he have, he says, don't you know I could call for 10,000 legions of angels right now? They'd come down. Oh, it wasn't men that held Jesus to the cross. It wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his love for the Father and his love for his people that held Jesus to the cross. That's the only reason he didn't come down. He humbled himself and hung on the cross of Calvary, and he shed his blood. And he died for my sins and for your sins. He who knew no sin, he who was not conceived in sin, he who had never sinned in his entire life, he who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us. He took all of my sins upon him. Have you ever felt the burden of sin? Have you ever felt the weight of sin?
Have you ever felt like you were a terrible sinner and you deserved eternal hell? Well, that's what we all deserved, every one of us. We deserved eternal hell, but Jesus came and died for our sins. God humbled Himself more than anybody here has ever humbled ourselves or will ever humble ourselves. But as a Christian, may God help us to be willing to humble ourselves every day and be servants every day. Help us to remember Jesus. Help us to remember how humble He was, is my prayer for Christ's sake.